This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, Sir David Attenborough and those amazing BBC camera crews have wowed us once again, this time with footage of jaw-dropping wildlife from around the UK in the Wild Isles BBC television series. Golden eagles raising their young in Scotland, ancient temperate rainforests in Wales, and a million starlings murmurating over Bodmin Moor. Even roe deer in the home county, so not at all far away from here. Those are just some of the highlights. Now, if you've not watched any of the Wild Isles series, then, well, they're well worth a watch. They're all awesome and they're so inspiring. And that's what Sir David Attenborough says that he wants. He wants us to be inspired, inspired to take action ourselves to save what's left of the wildlife in our part of the country. One organisation that's been trying to bring back nature and to really make a difference for many years now is the Wilderhood Watch. The idea is that if neighbours on a street take action for wildlife together, they can not only help each other, support each other, but they can have a much greater effect. Now, we've heard about their many projects here on Environment Matters. Pollinator highways, where neighbours sowed small patches of pollinator-friendly meadow, or towed roads, where they were asked to have a pond, however small, and plant a hedge, are just a few. So who better than Wilderhood Watch coordinator Nadia Bishara to ask for some tips for getting started trying to save nature and for whether we stand any chance of success. And apologies for the dog that you might hear barking in the background at one point. That's Nadia's dog Rolly, who is obviously very keen that we should be helping wildlife too. Nadia, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. So Wild Isles has got together with the National Trust and the World Wildlife Fund UK and RSPB to encourage us all to play our part to protect our natural world. And you're the Wilderhood Watch. Well, you've been doing this for years. So do you think that we can realistically make a difference?
Well, first of all, Amanda, thank you very much for inviting me here to discuss this. And in answer to your question, absolutely, we can make a difference. The future isn't set in stone. Humans are making a difference anyway. At the moment, for the worst, it makes sense that if we all get together, we're a huge power for good and we can make a difference for the better. So that's now what we've got to do. We've got everything to play for. People who say it's too late, I absolutely believe they are wrong. What we do now is what will take us into the future. And if we imagine a better future, the future will be better.
Well, that's really encouraging to hear, Nadia. Thank you so much for those positive words. So I just wondered if you'd got any examples of nature returning because of something that you or your Wilderhood Watch members have done.
We're seeing it everywhere. I think the most important thing is that it's numbers. So when we all get together, we can affect really major change. We have lots of projects running. Just for an example, our Toad Road project. So this is one where we're just getting as many people as possible on a street to dig a pond in their garden. And it is amazing the difference it makes instantaneously. We've seen ponds that have only been dug for 1 or 2 months, having newts in them, having dragonflies attracted to them, and then laying eggs in the ponds. It's amazing what can happen in a very, very short period of time. And of course, just like pollinator highways are important in terms of having long lengths of pollinator-friendly plants for the bees, so are multiple ponds. You can have one pond in your garden and you will immediately see a difference, but imagine if your neighbours are digging a pond as well, and then the people a little way down the road are digging a pond, suddenly you've got a whole lot more wildlife that you're going to see, because of course that wildlife is going to travel and it'll soon end up in your garden, and you will have more creatures that you'll be able to look at and delight in your garden.
Well, that again, that sounds lovely. The way that you're saying that actually something really quite simple like a small pond, you can see very quickly that wildlife is returning when you've done that.
Yes, and I think the thing is that at the moment we're at this point in history where there are still enough creatures about that if we make these habitats, they'll come. And I think what's fundamentally important is that we do it now, because at the moment I think we're at the very cusp where if you dig a pond or if you plant more pollinator-friendly plants, there are still enough creatures around that will be able to take advantage of that. And that's why, you know, I'm a big fan of actually talking to your neighbours as well, just to ensure that those creatures can actually get to your garden. You need to make sure that your neighbours are doing something similar to you, because that way it's far more likely that the creatures will actually find your habitat.
So, Nadia, this is what the Wildhood Watch is about, isn't it? It's about neighbours doing things together to sort of increase the effect of any individual's activity. But sometimes those conversations can be a bit difficult. Not everybody has seen wild owls. Not everybody is thinking about helping nature. So if you've got a little bit of advice for how to start those conversations or frame them.
Yeah, it is a difficult one, and it can be really a little embarrassing sometimes having to approach neighbours, especially if you don't know them very well. But I think that's where Wild Owls is brilliant, because immediately you've got a conversation starter, and I think that's really nice. If you can maybe approach your neighbour and say, oh, I was watching Wild Owls and they were talking about all the different ways that people can help the wildlife here. Would you mind if we made a little hedgehog hole between our fences? And I mean, most people would say, oh yeah, go ahead. They might even say, I've seen it too. So it's a lovely conversation starter. I think with Wildhood Watch as well, we think about that when we're, for instance, producing our leaflets. We're not thinking of leaflets as, oh, something that somebody just picks up and then goes away with and doesn't talk to somebody. What we're actually thinking of is that leaflet, again, is a conversation starter. So I think if you are interested at all in doing more for wildlife in your garden, and also at the same time linking it with your neighbours, then Wildhood Watch, we try very much to support you in doing that. We know it's not easy to approach neighbours, so our leaflets actually are explicitly for that. Again, it's a conversation starter. You can maybe knock on their door or just catch them when you see them in their back garden. And if you have your little Hedgehog Project leaflet or the Pollinator Highway leaflet, you can start off by saying, we're considering doing this along our road. Would you be interested in having a little look at the plants on the plant list? Just something like that.
Okay. When you put it like that, that doesn't sound too tricky. It's certainly worth a try. So if we are lucky enough to have a garden or an allotment or some other green space, perhaps this weekend, just think of something super quick that we can do to help nature in that space.
There are so many things, really, just super quick. I'd say just, first of all, just get out into your garden and just observe. Just have a little look and see what, if there are any bees in your garden, where they are, what plants they particularly like. And then once you have a little idea of where the wildlife is going in your garden, for example, the bees, then perhaps you could consider looking at that plant and thinking, they really like that. Maybe I need more of it. Maybe I could plant it somewhere else. And I was just actually thinking, going back to what we were saying about approaching neighbours, another really nice way actually is to offer a plant. We know that plants that are shared and come from plant swaps actually in your neighbourhood, they're so much better. So I think even getting into your garden, spotting a plant that you know is a favourite with the bees, and then maybe dividing it or having a little seedling, and then maybe using that as a conversation starter with your neighbour and saying, I know the bees are all over this. Would you like some? I see you don't have any. I think that's quite nice, and that's quite a simple thing that you can do. Wilderhood Watch is the biggest thing we do. Every year we have at least a couple, if not more, plant swaps, generally spring and autumn. People can come along and just take plants, they can swap plants. They're all from our gardens. Then at least we're safe in the knowledge that they're chemical free. And also, they just do so well. It really makes sense, doesn't it? We all have quite similar soil in our gardens. We're all living in the same area. A plant that does well in the garden down the road is probably going to do very well in your own garden.
That's a really good point. So you spoke about just watching the wildlife. I suppose one of the nice things is that whilst we assume that it has to be some high-powered television series for us to see wildlife drama, this kind of thing is happening in our own gardens. Or thinking about the peregrine falcon on the clock tower of St. Albans Cathedral. I know that you've been watching the camera that they have on the nest there. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yes, I'm completely addicted to it. In fact, now you've reminded me, Amanda, I know I'm going to have to leave and have another look. But basically, I'm sure a lot of your listeners know that we had a peregrine falcon pair last year that successfully raised a chick on the St. Albans Cathedral. And it's very exciting news because Boudica, she was named Boudica, has now laid two eggs. And we know this for sure because they've put actually a very good camera that is trained right on their nest. And it's just compulsive viewing. So, I mean, that's something that we can all actually view right now that's happening in real time in St. Albans.
Indeed. And Nadia, isn't that another lovely example of wildlife returning? A simple thing like a little tray for them to nest on, and they've come back.
Yes, and they've got plenty of food. They've got a diet of pigeons and parakeets, apparently.
Really heartening to see. And actually, as you say, just as we love watching David Attenborough programmes, watching local wildlife like that can be just as engaging, can't it?
Oh, I think so. And, you know, there is something really, really satisfying about planting a flower in your garden that you're hoping is going to be perfect for a certain type of bee, and then seeing that bee on it. One example of that for me is pulmonaria or lungwort. And this was a few years ago now. I was watching a program on the telly, and it was explaining about the hairy-footed flower bees and saying their favorite food, if they can get it, is lungwort. And I thought, all right, if I plant this, maybe I'll see them. So I planted it. And sure enough, I think you can probably remember, Amanda, one year you knocked on my front door and you said you have so many bees on that lungwort. It was just teeming with these hairy-footed flower bees. And the satisfaction I got from that, I can't tell you, it was as good as any David Attenborough show.
Yeah. And Nadia, again, just a simple thing that you did and nature came back.
It did. And I think that's the thing. If we could just get across that, if you make the habitats, and even better, if you can get your neighbours to do it too, that's a really important point. Try not to just have things in isolation. Wildlife needs to travel, and you want that quantity as well as that quality of biodiversity. And you will get that if you make the habitats in your gardens and encourage your neighbours to as well. But yes, as simple as a small pond. Obviously, if you can dig a larger pond, all the better. But even a little pond in a wash basin, I mean, that's something that could be done in an hour. Just finding an old container, filling it with water, sinking it a little bit into the ground. There you immediately have water in your garden.
Yeah, that really does sound very easy, doesn't it? So, Nadia, what do you hope that the effect of Wild Isles and the Save Our Wild Isles campaign will be?
I'm just really hoping that it'll mobilise more people to just do these little things in their gardens, to just make their gardens more hospitable for wildlife, or even to take the time to just enjoy the wildlife in their gardens more. Maybe even do less sometimes. I mean, we all do this. We get quite obsessed with things looking very neat and tidy. And just try and look at it from an animal's point of view and think, well, is this really going to give good shelter or give good protection for these birds if I prune this bush to an inch of its life? You know, just things like that. Maybe take the time to just observe what you already have and see how you can encourage them, and maybe don't worry so much about it being completely pristine.
That sounds like an excellent message. And if we want a bit more inspiration from the Wilderhood Watch, Nadia?
Right. Well, you can always go on our website, wildhoodwatch.org. And then we've got on the website, we've got loads of information about all our projects, my contact details. You can contact me if you think you'd like to be part of it. At the moment, we've got about 32 streets, but we're very, very keen to have more. It really doesn't take much. Just somebody on the street who thinks, right, I want to make my garden more wildlife friendly and I'd like to involve my neighbours. And then all we do is we just give you a page on our website, just say that you've joined us, then just give you support to basically contact your neighbours, let you know when we're having any events like plant swaps or pond walks, meadow walks, where we go around and look at people's meadows and ponds, just things, little things like that that we do. And yes, you just become part of that sort of Wilderhood Watch community, which I think, again, you know, what I was talking about, that the more people that do this, the better. So I think it's nice to feel part of something bigger.
Our thanks to Nadia Bishara from the Wildhood Watch. And she's spot on, isn't she? Whatever you do to help wildlife, you are part of something bigger. In fact, something really huge. And joining a group like the Wildhood Watch can really help you to feel that. Now, as Nadia said, check out wildhoodwatch.org and get chatting to your neighbours about how great the dandelions look in their lawns and tell them that Sir David would be proud of them. So will you be taking steps to save our wild isles? Well, I'd love to hear about them. You can get in touch via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on Twitter and Facebook. Do you know, when I was talking to Nadia, I was thinking how I'd like to do something to try and get my street involved in the Wildhood Watch. And, do you know, I thought that the Coronation Street Party that we're planning might be a good opportunity. We could have a plant swap. I mean, even if it's just a few seedlings that I've potted on, that'll be okay. And then I'll get a few of the Wildhood Watch leaflets, as Nadia says, just to get some conversations started whilst we're sipping a few glasses of Coronation Punch. And yes, there are indeed web pages full of ideas for cocktails for your Coronation Street Party. Now, I'll put the link to the webcam on the peregrine falcon's nest on the tower in St. Albans Abbey into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com, along with the show where Professor David Goulson explained the research showing that pesticide use is linked with less garden wildlife, and also the show where Canon Kevin Walton from St. Albans Abbey was talking about the partnership that led to the peregrine falcons making St. Albans Abbey their home. I'll be back with you at the same time next week. Until then, thank you for listening.